I preached last time, and honestly, Sunday night, I think I might have preached last time. I don't even know what I preached. It could be something along the lines I'm going to preach tonight. So if it's close to the same, it's not the same message. I always say that. You may have to fire me. It won't be the first time. It may not be the last. But I said something in my message one of the last time I preached. Shortly after I said it, you say, "Man, Scott, you always do that." Well, sometimes my tongue gets me in trouble. You know, forgive me. But I said something in regards to, I couldn't understand, and I don't know how I put it, about how my dad was down here pastoring, and I wasn't even going to church. And as I got and began to think about that, I don't want to bring a reproach about my dad's ministry and my mom's ministry. And I began to think about that. One thing I began to think of was, I didn't graduate until I was 19 years old. My dad stepped aside from the ministry when things happened in our home. And he didn't beg for money. He went right out and began to drive a milk truck, it was a milk truck for Ronnie Clark, down in Paducah, Kentucky. My mom went to work in a jean factory. When I was living with my mom in South Fulton, Tennessee. This has a point to it, so follow me. My dad preached hard on separation. He was hard on us kids. We had to toe the line. My dad did have us in subjection, if you will. And I can remember my mom in South Fulton, Tennessee, just me and her, waking up in her skirt, going to work in this factory. Here she was, a pastor's wife. But she wasn't too good to work, and neither was my dad. And she would go in there with her little skirt on, with all these women, and I'm sure she stuck out like a sore thumb, but she did that. I can remember my mom going out on a Friday night, Saturday night, I think it was Friday night. We weren't allowed to go to school dances. And I can remember my mom going in and getting my sister out of school. And it was a big school. It wasn't a small school. And I just thought, things that I said, I don't want to undermine my ministry. My dad had such a passion to preach. And he practiced what he preached. Us kids, we didn't just get to do what we wanted to do. There's a lot of things we didn't get to do. My dad preached separation. My dad preached the grace of God. He preached salvation. And all that comes to this. It just dawned on me. Many of the consequences of my life, they were not my parents' fault. They were my fault. And so many times kids come of age and things turn out kind of sour. And we as parents aren't perfect. We make mistakes. Preachers make mistakes. But when our lives have consequences, sometimes we just got to own them. And I just coming for myself, it's almost been 2 years since mom has passed. I think about my mom and dad almost every day, especially my mom. And there's a song that I hear, and this is going to go along a little bit with a message tonight. Bear with me, as the Apostle Paul said in my folly a little bit. There's a song that's out, and I've shared it on Facebook. I love it. It's called, I was raised sheltered. I missed out on all this stuff. And here I am at 51 years of age, and I say, praise God. I tried to do things my way for a short time. But I thank God. You know what? You say, well, you just say that because your mom and dad is now deceased. I had great relationships with my mom and dad before they both passed. And I appreciated the way that they raised me. So I just want to clear that because I didn't want to undermine. I think it got to the point sometimes where a parent just has to say, hey, you're going to go your own way. I've done all I can do. And I was pretty much an adult. Go with me tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm just going to read one verse. And because of those things, I have such a burden. And it's not just me. In our prayer group, I was amazed. I don't know if I want to use the word amazed, being over-exaggerating it, but it was interesting. The amount of prayers and the amount of burdens that we as parents, we as men, have for the young people of this church. And that's what this message is about. I tried to come up with a subject that was kind of catchy or whatever. I couldn't. All I can say is my message tonight is honoring God as a young person. Honoring God as a young person. If I could go back and you say, oh, so many people say that after they say that, after they sold their wild oats. Well, if I could just go back. No, I wish I could have. I wish I could have honored God. I wish I would have been saved earlier. I wish I would have taken church seriously. I wish I would have taken the messages that I heard more seriously as a young person. If you're here and you are saved and you are a young person, you're not missing out on anything because you're serving the Lord and not the world. And I can remember being a young person. I can remember me starting to date Kim when we were 16, almost 17. We were inseparable for a long time. I remember those days. And Kim actually was probably, and where I was at in my life, and this message isn't going to be about me, so forgive me, just bear with me, was good for me in that time. But I want to preach tonight about honoring God as a young person. Notice Acts chapter 2, what he says, and we were here this morning. And I just want to read one verse when Peter is speaking in verse 17. And he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now, we could look at this and in its context, and to be honest with you, I know, you know, we find this in the book of Joel, I believe. I didn't dig into it. And it could mean that future generations, that your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. I understand that. But keep reading in verse 17. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So when you get to that part of the context, it just impresses upon me, it is possible for young people not only to be saved, but to excel in the things of God. Not just to be saved, not just to make a profession of faith, but to excel in the things of God. Normal scriptures when we come to the young people is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." At 51 years old, the hearing's starting to go. I've always had bad vision, really bad vision, but now even more. I have to wear those special glasses or the bifocals. The vision's getting worse. So even just at 51, I understand that these are not the prime days of my life anymore. But you as young people, you are in your prime. The best way to give the best that you will have physically to the Lord is to give of your best as a young person. I understand that. And then we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Another very familiar passage of scripture that we often use for young people. That it says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Don't read that wrong. Don't understand that wrong. Understand what that truly means. That doesn't mean to go out and live like the devil, and then when somebody calls you into question on it, you say, "Oh, don't question how, don't despise me. I'm a young person." That's not the teaching there. Don't give people reason, if you're saved by the grace of God, to despise the way that you're living, to be a stumbling block. If you're here and you're a young person and you're saved, you're a member of this church, you're different than someone that's here that's lost. You're different in just the fact that you're on the way to heaven, but there should be a difference that the lost can see in you. They should be able to see that. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I may get myself in trouble and I may be off on this. And it won't be the first time, but I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was Sunday night, we was going home from church, and I asked him, and I think Lydia, sometimes they don't like my questions, but I was just trying to think. I said, who was the first person that God was pleased with in the Bible? I mean, originally, we know that he had Adam and Eve, but really think about it. In my mind, and again, I might be wrong, but I thought Abel. Adam and Eve fell. Adam and Eve was the ones that Eve was deceived. Adam went into it. They fell. But then you have the next generation, Abel and Cain. They come and they both bring sacrifices. So Abel gets it right the first time. He gets it. What's your point, Scott? He was a young person. He got it right when his parents didn't. And it ought to stick out to us. It is possible. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it's mentioned, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, Abel was mentioned when it talked about him bringing, I believe, the proper sacrifice. Let's go over there and read that. Hold your place in John. I apologize. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and then I'll go back and read the other passage I told you to turn to. In verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel was a righteous person. It's possible for young people to be righteous people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 2. He says in verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, excuse me, because that ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. We need, and young people can, and us as older Christians, we also should overcome the temptation and the wickedness when we're faced with it. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Now notice this next part. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Well, they're young. You know, you got to give them space. It is possible, and I don't despise young people. If anything, I love them. I remember the struggle, and it was mentioned in prayer this night, the struggle that they face, and they do. But it's possible to be young in the Lord, to be a young person physically, to be a youth, and to be strong. But we see here, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. How do you be strong in the Lord if you're young? The same way you're strong in the Lord if you're old. You abide in the Word of God. There's no substitute devotional that will compare to God's Word. There's nothing wrong with those things in their place, but we must have the Word of God. I've been thinking about the King James Version of the Bible. And you know, really, the King James Version of the Bible, it's harder to understand, fleshly speaking. It is. But you know what it takes? It takes a little effort. The language isn't like we speak today. But God knew all about that. It takes a little effort to dig into the Word and to apply ourselves. And that's what God expects us to do. And I'm not going to run off on that tangent. But to be honoring God as a young person tonight, the first thing you need to do is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I'm a good kid. I could have said that for a long time. I was a pretty good kid. I had my moments, but I was a fairly good kid. People like me. I respect my parents. I don't give them much problems. That won't cut it. In order to honor God as a young person, you have to receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your soul, upon your sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think of some young people, such as Joseph, that honored God in their life. They gave of the best of their life. I think of Samuel. And again, I mentioned, and I think of Abel. If you're here tonight, and I know you've heard this, and you've heard this, and you heard this. If you're here tonight, young or old, we're really specifically speaking to young people, but we desire, this church desires all people, that, at least I do, I speak for myself, that I come in contact with, to be saved. That may not just be people here, that's people we run into out there. I desire that. I desire that because it glorifies God, but I desire that because it benefits them greatly. But we desire you to be saved. You know, before I was saved, like I told you this morning, I was just kind of coming to church here and there. Just kind of. And then I look at me and Kim now and how we, even before here, we went just kind of went to another church. We just kind of went. Our parents weren't there. Her parents weren't raised in church. And here we are today. Parents gone. Mine are anyways. And God has used His Word to the saving of our soul. We desire, if you're here tonight and you're a young person, we desire to see you saved and serving the Lord. Never underestimate what God can do. You may be sitting here tonight saying, I'll never submit. I'll never be saved. I'll never receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you never underestimate what God can do. If you're here and you're saved tonight, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. And this isn't just for young people, but again, this is where this is directed. And I think I just gave you the second. Let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 2. It must be 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just gave you the wrong. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, and this is Paul's charge to Timothy, as Timothy's going to be a pastor. Timothy was a young man. You say, well, he wasn't a teenager. Maybe not, but he was a young man. It says, flee also youthful lust. Do we know as God's people? Do we know as older people? Do you know as younger people the youthful lust that you experience? We're to flee youthful lust. And guess what, young people? Sins and temptations and all the problems that you have now, they don't just go away when you get in your 20s or 30s or whatever the case may be. But it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Follow rightness. Follow uprightness. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, even a child is known by his doings. Whether his work be right or pure. You know where I'm at. If I butcher that, I apologize. But even a child is known by his doings. Follow righteousness. When nobody else is doing it, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. God honors those that have faith. And not just saving faith. Those that exercise faith and lean upon the Lord, God will bless you. God will bless us. Follow after faith. Follow after charity. Follow after being a loving, peaceable, hospitable person. I know I probably said this before. I'm going to say it again. Things that I really hold to. There's nothing worse than someone, especially if they hold a position in the church, and they've been saved for a long, and they're the most miserable, crude person. Well, I say, if you really got to know them, you would love them. I don't think I really want to get to know them. You need to demonstrate that you have love, that you have a genuine hospitableness towards your fellow man. But follow, young person, follow after love, biblical love. Follow after peace. And then notice those two words next. Well, I don't need church. I can worship God anywhere. Well, notice the next two words. Follow all these things with them. With them. That call, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Could that be talking about his church? Oh, I think it could be. With them. And then we see, I looked at this last time, but 2 Peter, we're not going to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 8 verses. All of us as God's children are told to grow, to add things to our faith. If you're here tonight, young person, and you're saved, you're a member of this church, ask yourself the honest question. Have you put it in cruise control? Are you idling? Are you just living your life? And yeah, I'm saved, but are you growing? Are you in the Word of God? Are you praying? Are you striving to please the Lord? If you're doing these following things, life automatically will be so much easier with your parents, with, I believe, obviously with God. Grow. And that's not just the young people, but I want to encourage you tonight, young person, that are here and saved, to grow in the Lord. Grow in the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're lost, and you hear Pastor mention that, and maybe even that term just kind of confuses you, keep listening. Keep listening. Search, read your Bible, ask questions. That's the big thing. Ask questions. We're designed as a church to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it seems as though almost everyone knows someone that was religious or saved and that was a bad example. Okay. But what does that have to do with you and God? Because when it comes down to it, when I was saved, nobody else was around. I was the sinner. I needed the Savior. And the Lord saved me, and I'm so glad that He did. And I hope and pray that I'll be glad to the day He takes me home that the Lord saved my soul. Third of all, and this isn't new. None of these are new. Go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Sometimes I think that I know I'm tempted to do scriptures injustice and just breeze over things. And I say, well, they're familiar. But I think we still need to see them. But in Exodus chapter 20, as God has given the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, which really is the principles of God's Word, and He's telling them, now, once you get into this land, if you'll do these things, you'll remain in the land and you'll have blessing a long time. And one of the things that He says in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You say, well, see, that's for the children of Israel, and that's concerning. But the principle is still true in the Word of God. Notice Ephesians chapter 6. Notice Ephesians chapter 6. Many of you may know this passage by heart. But just because the fact that it's so commonplace doesn't belittle that it's still important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Sometimes it doesn't seem right to honor your mom and dad. Sometimes it doesn't seem right to obey them. It just doesn't seem like the right thing to do in our twisted way of thinking. And maybe we know deep down, yes, we know it's right, but we don't want to do it. Don't want to give them the last word. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's God's word. It's given with promise. There may no doubt be some that say, you know what, I'm an adult. I made it through my parents' house. They didn't know how to parent. They didn't know how to do much of anything when it came to that. And look how well I'm doing now. You're not home yet. You are not home yet. The Bible says that you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. If your parents are bringing you up in the things of the Lord, they're pretty much doing their job. Yes, there's other obligations. But if they're raising you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, they're pretty much doing everything else they should be too. And if not, God will deal with them concerning that. But honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. When I read those verses, and when I read that promise from God, I believe God teaches that God will bless your life. You may not live to be 200 years old, but God will bless your life with a much greater quality of life when you honor your parents. It's going to be fast. May not seem fast right now, but within a blink of an eye, fast, quick, when you look back upon it. If the Lord grants you life, that you will be able to make all your own decisions. And if God grants you a spouse and grants you children, guess what? You get to reap all that you sow. And your children will then look at you and question you. Honor your parents. Notice, not only honor your parents, but go to, and again, we will look at one more on that, but go to Luke chapter 15. Very familiar parable the Lord gave. Not just honor your parents, and again, this is the parable of the man that had two sons. I was listening to on the radio, just happened to flick through and heard a guy preaching on this. And he went all the way off until how really neither son was right. And if you listen to that story, it's very true. But notice Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There it is, man. Some kids, they just want to get as far away from mom and dad as possible. They've had it so rough. Into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I believe this young man, knew better than what he did. He didn't listen to instruction. It did not end well. And God's word is still the same today. You can refuse your parents' instruction, but mark it down. It's not going to end well. You say, well, I'm 60 years old. I didn't listen to my parents about spiritual things. I would tell you, and you say, I've had a great life. I would tell you this, you're not home yet. You've got a reckoning day with God. You're not there yet. I look at the scripture in Ecclesiastes where it says, and I believe this strongly, and I try to teach my kids this. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, do anything your heart desires. Do it all. But know this, for every work, it's going to be brought into judgment. You will have to stand before God. You will have to give an account of that for God. And I think of many young people that are sitting in this room that have been an exhortation, and I'm going to use that word because I mean it, an exhortation on my life because I have seen them young. I have seen the struggles. I have seen the struggles that may still exist, but I've also seen their faithfulness to the Lord. And that blesses me, and I look back and think, why couldn't that have been me? Why didn't I have the courage? Well, I needed the Lord. But it was a blessing, and it's a blessing to see that. But this young man is a typical rebellious teenager. And by the way, a typical rebellious teenager, there's a payday for that. But he went into a far country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. I mean, he had it so much better at home. But just to be away from mom and dad, you know, when young kids, they come of age and they get married, there's a season that I think all young couples need to go through. Of course, the Bible tells us they do. A son, they need to leave their parents and cleave to their spouses. And absolutely. But it seems like there's a phase of where, and I went through this, where you begin to point out all the flaws of your parents. And then as you get older and your kids leave, then you're just like, oh, it's a vicious cycle. So what I'm saying is to young people, you may see the sins, you may see the failures, you may see the shortcomings of your parents. Your parents may not get it right in your eyes all the time, and sometimes they just may not get it right. Show grace to them, but honor your parents. God has given them to be your parents. Honor instruction. Honor instruction that you know to be right. I believe this boy, this young man, knew instruction. Now that's a very familiar one. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. In my mind, when I study the book of Proverbs, first of all, when I think of the book of Proverbs, I just think of Brother Bourne. And I can remember his teaching, and especially one Sunday morning he mentioned, and he got on the passage of Scripture where it says, and I can't say it like him, but he said, no, she'll sweet talk you. And to hear this man of wisdom and of age, and Brother Bourne to say that, it was just, but I think of that. But honor instruction. Notice, Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Comes time to move out. Nothing wrong with that. What are you going to do? Well, right here. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Now notice, wisdom. We could say God. I believe we can say God here, describes himself looking out at a young person. For at the window out of my house, I look through my casement. You know, and I try to teach this. Sometimes in Scripture, it's good to be called simple. And then sometimes in Scripture, it's bad to be called simple. We have to decipher that. But he says, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went her way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the dark, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Let me just stop real quick right there for a minute. I wish that preacher would get off separation. There is an attire of an harlot. And if our progression keeps going in our church, I remember, again, I'm 51 years old. Where are we going to look like in 30, 40 years as we sit in the house of God? The attire, and it's not just women. I have convictions for myself. I won't get into those. I'll just simply say, in the summertime in a factory, and they've been the same for years, it can get really hot. And it can get really unpleasant. And just, I will say, my dad used to say, maybe, honey, go upstairs and get your skirt on. I'm going to put my shorts on. I'll meet you in the car. He would say something to that effect. We expect women to dress a certain way. And again, I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong. I'm just saying there's standards. And it's, we can get, well, here's the standard. And I'm going to get right here. I know I'm in the minority on this. You say, you just say that because of Pastor's Day. No, I practiced these things since my dad rebuked me over 20 years ago. I was up at Tiny's. He said, Scott, you're getting way off. Well, bear with my folly just a minute. I was up at Tiny's years ago. Had a pair of shorts on. Had a lifeguard t-shirt on. I looked kind of cool. My dad said to me, you call yourself a preacher or something. He didn't hold any punches. Before we were even members of this church were saved, he was going to have a skating party at this church. And, oh, I was excited. Guess what? He wasn't real encouraging to me or Tim about going. Do you know why? Because we weren't going to fit the dress code. Your dad went, oh, yes, my dad did do that. And I'm not exaggerating. That's the way. And I was offended. But you know what? He held his ground. I was his son. I knew better. He said, Scott, you got off on a rabbit. Honor the Lord. Honor instruction. How did you get there? The attire of a harlot. It's found in Scripture. It's not a pet peeve of God's men today in 2023. And it's not just a woman thing. It's a guy thing. And when you're getting right down to it, it's a lot more than dress. I'm a firm believer. You can have everything right on the outside and everything wrong on the inside. We've got to have it right on the inside first. And then let God work it on the outside. It's got to be on the heart first. It has to be. The attire of a harlot. Don't miss the point of this message, young people. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. A mom and a dad. They teach their son. They teach their daughter. This is the kind of person you need to date. This is the kind of person that you need to marry. And I know it's hard. It's easy for me to say. I never struggled. I had a girlfriend from the time I was 16 years old. I didn't struggle with that. I didn't have convictions. And a young person, maybe they're lonely or maybe society makes them feel inadequate because they don't have that spouse or they feel that they're not valuable because they don't get a rose on Valentine's Day. Listen, you have the Lord. God is able to do so much more for you than any spouse or any boyfriend or any girlfriend can. But you have to walk with Him. You have to be in fellowship with Him. But they met him, and then notice verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She doesn't mind her own business. And she's loud and she's stubborn. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Let me skip down. He basically yields to this sin. And this sin isn't the only sin that young people can yield to. But notice in verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to a slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasteth to the stair, and knoweth not that is for his life. See, in chapter 7, there's sin that looks like it will benefit somebody. It's enticing. But it's not just this sin. When young people come to a certain age or in their life, and not just young people, but again, the focus tonight is on young people, as there's many things that they know better, but sin entices them. The end of that is going to be consequence. Or, if you can be strong in the grace that is in the Lord, you can overcome those things. And there's another side. There's the good consequences of God. I believe, probably, without exaggeration, more than I ever have in my life, that God blesses His people when they do right. When we do right, you say, but I'm so discouraged, and these things are getting thrown at me, and it just doesn't seem right. If you just do right, in due time, God will bless you. He may not make everything perfect, but He will bless you. Do right. Do good, the Bible says. Wait on the Lord. Do right. And I know, and I believe, the struggle is real with young people and the temptations that they face. You want to fit in. You want to fit in. You want to be involved. You want this and you want that. That struggle is real. Understand, if you're saved, you're a child of the King. And He may not be allowing you to fit in because you don't need to fit in there. You're a child of God. Hold your head up. And thank God that He has saved your soul, and be a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. The right way is possible. It is right. It is possible. And as I said earlier, and I don't exaggerate, and I don't flatter. I have many failures. Those two things, by God's grace, I don't do. I don't flatter people. There's been many examples in this church of young people that have come and been raised in this church and that have carried on and have convictions today and serve the Lord. And they are a blessing to me in my walk with the Lord. Young person, people are watching you. The right way is possible. You can please God in your youth. Not to pick on my son, but I will. To my knowledge, he lived all his years as a young person. And I know I probably made him feel like he was the worst possible kid. But to my knowledge, he never lowered himself to alcohol and things in that nature. He just didn't. And I appreciate, and I've seen God's blessings upon him for not taking the low road. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. The right way is possible. I'm young. I'm in the Lord. The right way is possible. How do I do that? Well, God gives us His Word. The book of Proverbs, I say on the book of Proverbs, if you understand the book of Proverbs, you can go toe-to-toe with anybody socially. I absolutely 100% believe that. You can stand before kings. Because the Bible, the book of Proverbs is a very social book. And it teaches us the wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. As a young person, what do you need? You need these things we just read about. You need discretion. You need discretion in your life to know who's good for you to be around and who's not good for you to be around. You need discretion in your life to know what things that you need to stay away from because they can be vices to you and they're not good for you. To understand, and forgive me, verse 5. A wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I try to listen more intently in church now than I ever have. I want to be wise. I want to hear. I've had Brother Luke in Sunday school years ago. Here now he's teaching me. Oh, I shouldn't listen to him. No, I want to learn. I want to listen. A wise man will hear. I love coming to church and I love listening. You say, well, you're through the really bad temptations of life. I mean, look at the age that you are. We all still face things until the day that we die. To understand, or a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Your mom, dad tries telling you something, you just close them out. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to give you body language, letting you know I'm not going to listen to you. You're only hurting yourself. You're making your mom, dad mad, which isn't good for you, but you're hurting yourself. A wise man will hear. And a man of understanding, I love this, shall attain unto wise counsels. Your mom, dad's giving you advice. Don't go to the neighbors next door and try to get something different. God didn't give you the neighbors next door for you to get advice from. He gave you your parents. You're sitting in the house of God and the preacher is giving counsel from God's word and you don't like it? I'm going to go find somewhere else to listen. God didn't give you somewhere else to listen. He gave you the pastor, the teacher, your Sunday school teacher, Brother Luke, whoever your teacher is giving you instruction. You say, I just don't agree with that. And you're going to be obstinate or rebellious about it? I'll go somewhere else. Attain unto wise counsel. That is one way that you'll be blessed of the Lord. I'm almost done. I'm going to be done early tonight. That's okay. I want you to go to the book of Psalm, chapter 1. I think, and I remember as I read this chapter tonight, I think the first time I heard Brother Andy teach, it was in the adult Sunday school class, and he taught on this chapter. Over in the old sanctuary. When I turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 1, or I read it, for whatever reason, I always think of Brother Andy. But I think we as parents sometimes drop the ball. And that's why our kids drop the ball. Because we don't always set before them a proper perspective on life. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'd rather my grown son, my grown daughter, work at McDonald's and be serving the Lord than to be changing the world. And God is, where's God? You tell me what's better. What shall a man profit? Those aren't just words in the Bible. One day there's going to be a day of reckoning. Now to be honest with you, I hope they can serve God and be a productive citizen. And there are people that do that at McDonald's, believe it or not. Maybe not up to our standards, but they do. It doesn't matter. Serve the Lord. Have a proper perspective. And we need to teach our kids a proper perspective. Notice Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the book of Proverbs about? It's teaching young people how not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And they look at it. And I can remember looking and seeing things that would entice me. And think, if I just go after that, my life's going to be happy. I'm going to be fulfilled. And then the consequences come. We need to teach our kids, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. I love sports, not as much as I used to, and there's a lot of type sports I don't care for, pros, whatever. There's different things I would love and want to push. I love to see my kids do well in school. But first and foremost, we need to teach our kids to do well in the things of God. We need to show them the importance. Do our children ever see us reading the Word of God? Do they know our manner of life is that we understand that we're growing in the Word of God ourselves? It's hard for us to teach them those things if we're not practicing it ourselves. We need to constantly remind young people, you don't have to hit a grand slam in life. You don't have to hit a grand slam in life. That's a lot of pressure to put on young people. Maybe God hasn't called them to hit a grand slam in life. Maybe God has called them to be faithful in one of His churches. There's no greater honor and privilege than that. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth He meditate day and night. Young person, God will give you everything that you stand in need of if you seek Him first. Every single thing, if you receive Him as your Savior, He will satisfy you. Oh yes, we will go through difficult times. And I like what was brought out in that study about God is able. He's able to succor us. You know what I'm talking about if you listen to it. He's able to uphold us. He's able to help us. It says in verse 3, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Doesn't mean He's going to have a new Mercedes. What it means is in 20 years, He may have gone through a lot of things that were difficult in His life, but He's still serving God. You look at His life is still full of fruit. He will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, oh, see, I'm going to escape. No, you're not going to stand in the judgment with God's people. You're not going to stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And this thought, here it is again, has been so heavy upon my heart. It's not a dole. It's not a curse. It's not a negative for me in my life that God has saved me. Just like Moses, he had a choice in his life. He could have been really somebody. But what did Moses do as a young person? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's a choice. By the grace of God, we need to make, all of us. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Thank the Lord. God knows the way that I take. And because He knows the way that I take, God helps me in the way that I take. Life just seems like, it just seems like everything gets put together and then it just poof. You know, we all just got our cars and getting terrible gas mileage in the truck, and then within a week, Lydia totals her car out. God knows all about that. It just sometimes it just seems like it's one thing. Well, God's working on us. He has a reason why He does what He does. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. We need to teach our kids to have a proper perspective of life. Who do you idolize in front of your kids? I love basketball. I love high school basketball. I love that more than, I mean, that's one of my passions. But there's some professional basketball players that I would not want to say to my kids, ooh, there's somebody you need to emulate. But I can get into the Word of God and I can say, well, there's Timothy, there's Paul, there's Abel. There's some people you should be being like, wanting to be like. One of my favorite verses, I have a couple and we're going to close. I'm going to quote this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says the Gentiles are seeking after all these things. Young people today, you're no different than me when I was a young person. There's a lot of things that I sought after. And even us as older, there's a lot of things that we seek after. But what does the Lord say? But seek ye first. Seek the Lord first, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to teach our kids to do the best they can in school, to do the best they can in life. But at the end of the day, make sure God is first. He's not third. He's not fourth. He's not fifth. God is first. He's first. I'm going to leave with this passage of Scripture, Psalm chapter 37. This is the young people, especially the young people. I believe this fits. We live in a day and time of social media. And there's many things that I can get and I can laugh and whatever. But there are some negatives. You know, on social media, we don't put all our heartbreaks. Well, some people do. But we don't put all the things in our closets we don't want people. We put our very best foot forward and then we may even add a little something to it. We shouldn't. I'm just saying in reality as a society. But young people have all kinds of social media access. And many times they look at people and they think, man, they've just got it all together. No, they don't. No, they don't. Everybody struggles. Everybody struggles. But notice Psalm chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. There it is again. You say, this person's making me so mad. They're wronging me so much. I just want. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Take your eyes off of people and put our eyes upon the Lord. Well, I'm a young person. God doesn't really expect me to really serve Him right now. Yes, He does. Put your eyes upon the Lord. When we put our eyes upon the Lord, it takes away a lot of problems, I'll be honest with you, when it comes to this. You guys know the story in the Bible where God is asking Peter if he loves him. He says, if you love me, follow me, or feed my sheep. And he keeps asking. And what does Peter do? What's that guy going to do? I wrestle with that sometimes. Even at work today at 51 years old, it just don't seem right. And I'm reminded, put your eyes on the Lord, mind your business. Finally, the Lord, I came to the place, and I said, the Lord is trying to teach me to be subservient. I need that. And Brother Bob Boren was here, and he was preaching. He said something that kind of hit home with me. You know, Brother Bob Boren was plant manager out here at American Power Pool, and he found himself working at Walmart in the deli. I'm sure that was a condescending difference. But he made reference to that and how the Lord had kind of worked upon him. And that hit me. But I need to keep my eyes upon the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. I desire this in my life. And I desire this in my life. And I desire this. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want this. I want this. I want this. Those are good things to want. But trust in the Lord and let Him bring it to pass. Otherwise, you're going to have a mess. And I often say, and I believe it, it is better to be alone than be with somebody you shouldn't be with. Because it is a mess. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, verse 6 means something. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness. What's the context of this? Don't fret. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness. When we're doing right, and this is to all of us, when we're doing right, and we're put in the light when we're doing wrong, remember, God is going to bring that to light. Remember that thy judgment is going to come as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not, young people, fret not because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Let me review this quickly. You want to honor the Lord, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you're lost. You say some things and you get in the car with your mom and dad. And you're going to say, you may or may not. You may turn your radio on and forget about what I said. But you may. There's some things God said I didn't understand. Well, if you didn't understand them, maybe there's some things you don't need to totally understand right now. But understand this. The first and foremost thing I would say to you is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, in salvation, there's some mystery there. What must I do? The Bible says you can't do it. There's some mystery there. This is what I do know. At the point of salvation, I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. At the point of salvation, God brings you to the place. You come to the place where peer pressure is no. It's like, I'm going to do. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're young and you're saved, if you're sitting idle, you're a bigger target for destruction for your life. Where will you be in 5 years? Where will I be in 5 years? I don't stand up here as an authority. Where will I be in 5 years? Give respect and honor your parents. Pastor said this many times. I believe it's a teaching in Scripture. Even if you're lost and you show respect to your parents, there's still blessing there. You say, well, Scott, you don't know my parents. They're horrible. And they very well may be. I've known or heard of parents.